Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Hey, do something. Go to the book of Judges. Go to the book of Judges, chapter 8. I've been in Judges this year. I don't know. God has been walking really slow through the book of Judges, but I'm enjoying every reading and every aspect of it. You know, victory in life feels so good. Everybody, we all want to feel victorious. We want to have something that we feel powerful about. And when you see victory, it's such an amazing thing. When you're fighting for something, when you're fighting for a business, or when you make a sale that you've been waiting, man, you've been calling this customer for months, and all of a sudden, months later, they approve the sale, and so there's a purchase. There's an excitement that happens in your soul when you all of a sudden get this victory in your life, or you overcome an addiction. All of those things are amazing when we get a victory in our life. So here's what happened, though. What happened? Okay, I got the victory. So now what? That is really the question that we want to ask. So now what? Because the excitement that happens during the moment of victory, a lot of times is lost because we have to learn to stay in victory. And that's the thing God wants to talk to us about. How can we stay in victory? Staying victorious is important in every Christian walk. Staying victorious is going to be important for all of us to learn to stay in the process of getting the things that God brings to our lives and then maintaining them. Because that's one of the issues that I find a lot in, as a pastor, I interact a lot with people, and maybe you've seen it. One of the students in my class yesterday shared part of his testimony, how he had obtained a victory and had come to church, and he saw friends that came with him little by little walk away from the things of the Lord. They couldn't retain the victory that had come into their lives. And tonight, I want to talk about that, because God wants to guide us through the process of obtaining that victory. In Proverbs has this verse, it's amazing. It says that the horse is in preparation for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to who, church? To the Lord. So the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And that idea, I want to establish that idea in our thought, because it's going to be important for us to understand that we get ready. I mean, we're the ones who go out and fight. We're the ones who go out and do the business deal. We're the ones who are praying and struggling through a marriage or raising children. We are the ones doing these things. But ultimately, the victory that we get in our lives when we follow Christ comes from God and not just in our own effort. And what a lot of times happens is when we get that victory, many people tend to sort of walk away from the principles and the things that brought them the victory. And that is such a scary thought, because one of the greatest victory that we see in the Word of God is by a man named Gideon. And Gideon is known, I mean, even in secular world, people know this concept of Gideon, which is this guy who was a feeble Israelite, who was a man that was scared. He was frustrated because the Midianites, who was the people that were attacking them, they would come down, they would prepare the crops, grow all the fruit. When it was ready for harvest, the Israelites were doing all the work, the Midianites would come down, take everything they had, and they'd take it back with them. So they were frustrated. They were losing business, they were losing money, they were losing lives. They were just absolutely putting through a process because Israel had been disobedient to the Lord and walked away from the principles of God, and so they're going through this process. God calls this man named Gideon, and the Word of God clearly states that this guy is not ready to take on the task. God knew he was ready. You understand the difference? God knew, because God said, when showed up through the angel, said, "Mighty man." And the guy was like, "What are you talking about? Why would you even?" Literally, Gideon says, "Why would you call me that? Why would you call me that?" God has a different view than you and I have of us. And that's important to understand for when we are getting the victory that we want, for us to stay in the victory that God has brought to us. And so Gideon is an amazing story, because all of us know the front end. But can I confess something to you? I don't think I've ever paid attention to the back end of the story till now. God decided to highlight it for me. I always know the front end. And let me walk you real quick. Gideon gets words from God. And so this man starts following God, trusting God little by little by different tests. God tells him, do this, do that. He tells him, God, if you do this, I'll do that. And so we'll look at it in a minute. And so little by little, then God says, I want you to go out and battle the Midianites. And so he goes, okay, let's do it. He calls every available person to come fight. They show up. And so they're ready to roll. And God says, it's too big. God says, the army's too big, because if you win this way, then people are going to say that they brought the victory. So Gideon says, whatever you want, Lord. So, hey, different tests happen along the process, and God removes everyone and only keeps 300. And what's crazy, out of those 300, many of them were just dedicated to the worship. So they weren't even going to fight. I mean, they weren't even ready. It says that Gideon only took 100 of them to the very front. So that's amazing. And with that little group of people, they defeated this amazing army. Just absolutely wiped them out. For two chapters, you see the process. Then all of a sudden, we pick it up as Gideon comes back from the victory after killing and wiping out the Midianites. And here's what it happens. Judges 8, 22 through 27 in the New Living Translation. Let's pick it up together. They've won the battle. He's returning victorious. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, "Be our ruler. You and your son and your grandson, you will be our rulers, for you have rescued us from Midian." So everybody's so excited. They say, I mean, finally, we have a champion. Finally, we have somebody who's in our corner. So would you be our boss? Would you lead us? Would you be our king? But Gideon replied, "I will not rule over you, nor will my son. The Lord will rule over you." That's amazing. That's such a powerful statement. And again, I'm going to read it, and then we'll break it down in a little bit. Let's read it together. I want you to pay attention of his mindset in the process. Verse 24, "However, I do have one request." That's important. The "however" is very important. "However, I do have one request, that each of you give me the earrings from the plunder you collected from the fallen enemies." The enemies being Ishmaelites, they all wore gold earrings also. And so verse 25, "Gladly," they reply, "they spread out a cloak and each threw in the gold earrings and whatever they had gathered from the plunder." Verse 26, "The weight of the gold earrings was 43 pounds. Now, I went ahead and did the calculations. Some of you guys that like to Google stuff, if we take it by the current cost of the ounce of gold, that would be almost $2 million. So he collected close to $2 million in gold. And so not including, so there was a lot more money, not including royal ornaments and pendants, the purple clothing worn by the king of Midian, and the chains around their necks, and of their camels. So, man, they were absolutely loaded at this point. Verse 27, "Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold that he put in Ophrah," which it was the town he was from. Not Oprah, okay? Ophrah. Ophrah. I was reading it, Oprah. So I got to look at pronunciation. Ophrah, his hometown. "But soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family." I'm telling you, in all my time of studying the Bible in Christian, I had never paid attention to that verse, but God wanted me to pay attention to it. And he said, "I want to show you something, son. We have to fight to stay in victory. Because the way we begin is not always the way we end." And why? Why is that? Because one victory does not guarantee continued success in life. I'll repeat that. One victory does not guarantee continued success in life. And what happens is, because I obtain a victory, I assume that things will continue to roll the same way for the rest of the time. And there are things you and I have to do in order to maintain, in order to stay in victory. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have ups and downs in life. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be a turn and difficulties. Those things are there, but we remain in the victories we've obtained in life, or else we go backwards. And this is exactly what happened. You have this man, Gideon, that obtained one of the greatest victories recorded in the Word of God. And in a few chapters later, probably within the same few days, you have the same phrase saying, "This guy did something that was a stumbling block to everyone else." Wow, that's crazy, right? And so we need to learn how to maintain that in our lives. Have you ever heard, I'm sure you have, but I share a little bit when we talk about our financial series, about the curse of the lottery. You've heard that, right? And what happens is, these people, they come into all so much money in one fell swoop, right? And they are not ready. Their soul's not ready. Their mind is not ready. They're not equipped. They don't know what to do. And most of the time, I believe Discovery Channel, one of those channels, did one on 10 families that have won the lottery, and only one out of 10 was able to retain the money and advance and reinvest it properly. Everyone else went backwards. And one guy out of the 10 ended up worse than before he won the lottery ticket. So when he won the lottery ticket, He lived in a trailer. 5 years later, he was homeless. So he went from a trailer to a millionaire to the streets. And that process happens spiritually to a lot of people. They come to the Lord, they're sort of in a spiritual trailer. I don't know if there's such a thing, but, so they get excited, they find God, they move up in life or whatever it may be, and then they end up backwards, they end up in just absolutely returning. God doesn't want that. He wants us to retain that victory. So I see three aspects that Gideon is telling us, and God is telling us through Gideon that it's important. In victory, I want you to remember this, in victory, honor God. In victory, honor God. If you can maintain that thought for your life, it's going to be really important that in victory, you want to honor God. You want to remember where the victory came from, just like we read in Proverbs. We get ready, but at the end of it all, God is the one who's providing the victory in every area of our lives. And if we forget that, my friend, then we are going to end up going backwards. If you start thinking, man, I am the one who's put forth this business, I had these great ideas, maybe you did, but if you're in God, you can say, God, thank you for the great ideas. Father, thank you for the process. Thank you for the business deal. Thank you for the sale. Father, thank you for my wife, for my husband, for whatever it is. You maintain that focus. In victory, we have to honor God. Because if we lose that honor, then you know what? We may start regressing in many ways. I am amazed. I'm sure you are. I love sports. I follow sports for a long time. I've never seen, and I've mentioned this before, but I've never seen so many athletes saying thank God like we see today. I mean, just about every one of them, every quarterback, there's a few quarterbacks actually from our area, from Rancho Cucamonga, the quarterback from Texas and the quarterback from North Carolina. Both guys are Southern California boys, and I mean, just come from church homes, and they're just good kids, and it's amazing. Every time they go on the mic, they thank the Lord, their Savior. It's just awesome, right? But it's so interesting because before all that got popular, there was one guy who got beat up for it. His name was Tim Tebow. And we all seen, they remember the picture of T-Bowing, right? Became famous, you got on your knee and all that stuff. But I remember how difficult it was for this guy. And this guy absolutely maintained his Christian example. You can criticize his athleticism. You can criticize he wasn't a good quarterback. I would not bench press or against that guy. That dude is huge. But he was an amazing athlete, right? And he was an amazing servant of God. Till he is to this day. Beautiful ministry. Serves the Lord. Beautiful family. But I love because what he reminded me is that in ups and down, he always maintained his focus. It was about God. It was about, you cannot talk to that guy without him giving honor to God. And honor to what his parents did. His parents were missionaries in the Philippines. And honor to everything that God has done. And so for us to remember, in victory, we have to remember it's about God, after all. It is He. He's the one who produces for us. He's the one who brings everything to us. And this is very important. Here's what says Judges 8, 22 and 23. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, says, be our ruler. You and your son and your grandson will be our rulers. For you has rescued us from Midian. I love that because the people understand, and if you understand the book of Judges, let me just give you a quick run through. The idea of the Judges is that Moses and Joshua have ended their season of leading, and God decides to choose judges to help Israel move along. And so you have amazing judges. Samson was a judge, Deborah, and some others that ruled and helped Israel move along. Gideon is one of those judges. And he understands the purpose of God because he could have said, absolutely. I just look what the victory I brought. I should be the leader. They're asking me to be their leader. Who am I to reject such a request? Look at him. But Gideon replied, I will not rule over you, nor will my son. He was so focused, nor will my son. Watch this. The Lord will rule over you. I love that because he's establishing, he's living in the purpose of God even after the victory. He's saying, no, this is not about me. It was God who brought us this victory, and he's the one who's going to rule over all of us as people. And when we see that in our lives, when we allow God to rule and lead in our lives, and we bring honor back to him, then things are going to happen in our lives in a way that we've never expected. I love Isaiah says this, Isaiah 25. One says this in Living Translation, oh Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago. How long ago, church? Long ago. Long ago. And now you have accomplished them. God is going to finish his work. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says that he's prepared works for us to live in it and walk in it. from the beginning of time. I love that. So God, what works have you prepared for me? I want to walk in them. I want my children to walk in them. I want to see that. I pray that aloud, God, because he's saying, whatever you do is going to bring me honor as you do it. Whatever you do is going to bring honor as you lay it out. Whatever you do, if you bring honor, something happens in this process. I shared with you guys a while back, but when my mother passed away, it was, I believe, 2021, and when she passed away, went to the funeral in Dominican Republic, the country I'm from, and so I saw so many people that weren't Christians. These were friends of hers, people, neighbors that came. There was people there that I couldn't even believe they would show up. My high school principal showed up. I hadn't seen that lady in 20 plus years, but apparently she was friends with my mom, and I guess that's how I passed high school. No, I'm kidding. And so she showed up, and so I remember one thing that everybody kept saying that really touched me, which is, oh man, your mom was XYZ Christian. Your mom, in other words, everything they remember was something that my mom did to bring honor to God. And it really ministered to me. It really set an example for me to live by. It really touched me deeply that she lived her life. And she was a very simple woman. She didn't have, just very simple person. But her life was so honoring in so many ways that people that I had no idea were observing this, that were saying, there's something there that I want in my life. I believe God wants to do that for you and for me. He wants to use us in our neighborhoods, in our family. But it all begins when we give honor to God in the process that we've been through. As we do that, man, people are going to see it. Hey, this guy's always giving honor to God. Hey, God provided a house for us. Hey, I'm so grateful for my car. There's people that's all they do. I have a friend in La Roca, one of our pastors, Pastor Roman. He always says, this is the house the Lord has allowed me to use. I said, you're buying the house. He said, yeah, but it's the Lord's. This is a focus. There's a God focus in everything we do. Are you with me tonight? And so for us to retain the glory, amen, give glory to God. For us to retain that victory, we have to give honor and glory to God. Here's the next thought that is so clear for me. In victory, think about your next step. This is where I want to go deeply into this. I want you to think about your next step. Because if you don't pay attention to your next step in victory, you might end up taking the wrong step. And this is so crucial. What happens is in victory, we feel the elation, the excitement, and then we put our guard down. As a matter of fact, more people can deal with defeat than they can with victory. Because a lot of times when we're in victory, we don't know how to handle what we received. But we're used to problems, right? We can deal with that. I got problems all day, and I kind of gotten used to it. But when you have victory, when either money or success or advancement, all of a sudden you can put your guard down and you're not watching your next step in the process of victory. And that is so crucial. That is so crucial for us to understand how these things develop in our lives. I heard this phrase that really touched me profoundly. This phrase is this: if you don't know what you did to get it, you won't know what to do when it breaks. If you don't know what you did to get it, you won't know what to do when it breaks. And this is why it's important for us to know how things are coming into our lives and how we're working through things so that we know when it's not functioning, what is the process in my life? I got to know the next step. And some of you here, you've overcome addiction. Some of you guys overcame bankruptcy, a childhood trauma. You guys have had some amazing victories in your life. But after that victory, then you don't know what step to take. And my friends, I believe God wants to show us also what is the next step. So we know that when something comes that breaks, that we know how to fix it. I see that all the time, whether it'll be in a marriage where people come, they come to counseling, they get a victory, but because they got the momentary victory, when the problem comes back, sometimes it completely breaks them because they didn't take the time to figure out what fixed it. We got to take the time to figure out what's fixing, what's bringing victory into my life. What's helping me, whether lose weight or change my mindset or advance in business? What are those things so that I know how to fix that? You guys all know the story about Kodak and the digital camera. But our pastor, Pastor Dan, shared this story a few months ago in one of his messages. And basically, Kodak is, if you are old enough to remember film, hey, man, the young ones are. And the company had film, and so this film... Also, they invented the digital camera. But because they couldn't produce it well enough, And they were making so much money with the film that they completely sort of ignored the project, and then Digital Camera blew up and took them out. And there's one even closer to us. There's a deal that some of the young ones will know, which is Blockbuster and Netflix. And this is one that we're very familiar with because we're all using it. When I moved to California, I lived in Redlands. And so some of you guys, I don't know if you remember the Blockbuster that was there on Redlands Boulevard, right? That was Friday night, man. Get one for the kids, get some popcorn, get some candy for the kids, the kid named Paul. And so we'll just get stuff and go enjoy ourselves, right? And so we would go to the Blockbuster. And so that was typical. Every family that's here, we did that for a while. And the Blockbuster story is so interesting because in the year 2000, Netflix, which is a subscription lending DVD, when DVDs were growing, they went to Blockbuster because it was losing so much money. And they said, please buy us. We'll sell you 49% stake in our company for $50 million. Pretty much they're going to own it practically. So 51 would be Netflix, 49 would be Blockbuster. Blockbuster laughed. They said, forget it. Now watch this. By 2007, Netflix has switched and brought to us streaming. And by 2010, Blockbuster filed bankruptcy. So in 10 years, Netflix went from, please buy us, we need money, to that other company no longer exists. And this is why when we have victory, when we're at the top of the mountain, we ought to know the things that are working for us. Because when it breaks, then we can put it back together. Because if we don't do that, then we cease to receive the victory. We'll disappear. And that is something I don't want to see in our life. That's something God doesn't want us to see. And this is what we'll find right now as we see Gideon. Gideon did something that he shouldn't have done because he didn't know what brought him the victory in that moment. He didn't know God's history. Gideon took a step that God had prohibited many years ago. Let me tell you what God didn't want. Deuteronomy 7 tells us this. Deuteronomy 7:25 says, You shall burn carved images of their gods with fire. So when you conquer a city, it's what the verse 24 says. When you conquer a city and kings, you shall burn and carve the images of gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared, meaning lest you trip up, lest you be drawn away, lest you snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Fast forward, Judges 8:24. However, says Gideon, since I don't know Deuteronomy 7, I have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your plunder that you collected from your fallen enemies. And all of a sudden, the guy who brought one of the greatest victory starts taking the wrong steps out of his victory because he didn't know. And this is what we ought to know. This is why you come to Wednesday night. This is why you go to Breaking. This is why you go to Bible college. Because the more you know, these things are going to solidify what you can stand on in the Word of God. Know the Word of God and know the steps you got to take in the process of victory in your life. So he goes on, verse 25, gladly they reply. They spread out a cloak, and each one threw in the gold earrings and gathered from the plunder. So here's what you got to know. If God has helped you up to this point, don't go with your own understanding from there on. So crucial. If God has helped you up to here, why would I change the strategy? Why would I all of a sudden become more, I'm going to do it my way? That's not what it's about. When we're following God, we're following God. And I get it. God does not shut off our brains. My wife and I talk about this all the time. He doesn't shut off your brain. There's things you know, but you ought to know what he says. Because when you know what he says, the decisions you make are guided by the understanding of God's word and what's inside of you already. Are you with me today? And this is so important because otherwise we're making the craziest decision. We get a victory, and then all of a sudden we take a step in the wrong direction because we didn't know. We didn't have the information. And so here's Gideon brings the greatest victory, tells the people, no, God is going to reign over us. It's so beautiful. We're going to honor God, but I want to do something. Gideon went from following God to following his desires. Or let me say it this way, following his good intentions. And that's why in victory, we must follow God's instructions. In victory, we must follow God's instructions. If we stay away from following God's instructions, then we're going to start doing our thing our way. And this is so important. I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to repeat it, because you hear from our pulpits, not just me, every pastor, every teacher that comes tells you the same thing. Because it has to be a way of life. It has to be a way of life. I have a friend, and she, you could say this is ridiculous, but she was trying to teach us a lesson. And she is she was an amazing missionary and now has a ministry in Atlanta. And her name is Stephanie. And so when she was a mission in the Dominican Republic, she was teaching us how to hear the voice of God. And she said something that was so shocking to me. And I was like, nah, this lady's absolutely crazy. I was 14 years old, and I was like, this American lady coming to the Dominican Republic. I was, I don't know, I must have not heard it right in her Spanish, right? She said, I always listen to God, and I go out, and she was a single lady at the time. She said, I'll go out on dates with Jesus. I said, oh, she is fried, Lord, help her, right? She says, I go out on dates with Jesus. And I go, and he tells me what store and what, and I thought she was crazy. That cannot be real. But what she was showing me is that she had such a sensitivity to the guiding of the Spirit in her life that she was involving God in every decision in her life. And that was so beautiful. That was, would you give God a praise for that? That was so beautiful. I'll be honest with you. It was odd. I'm not saying it was odd. I'm not saying I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I was like, nah, that sounds weird. But as I grew in the things of God, I realized I do want God at every turn. I want God to help me buy a car. I want to hear God's voice to who to talk to, what job to apply for. I need God's voice. I've heard sometimes God leaving the parking lot here. Don't go on the freeway. Take the streets. I mean, I just get that sensation in my soul. And I take the streets. Even if it takes longer, even if it's weird, I believe God speaks to his children. That's what the Word of God says. And so I don't want to start following my way. Even if Google Maps says this is the best and fastest way, I'm listening to God. And so it's so important for us to do that, because otherwise we pass those red signals in our lives because we want to be cool and we want to follow our ways and not follow God. Let me tell you about Gideon, because this man followed God at every turn. Watch this. He did a fleece test. He told God, God, if you're really calling me, I'm going to put out a fleece, so a piece of cloth outside, and in the morning the grass is going to be wet, but the blanket, the fleece, is going to be dry. He gets up in the morning, and just like that. And he says, God, I'm not convinced yet. I want to flip it. I want the rag to be wet, and I want the ground to be dry in the morning. He gets up in the morning, and the rag, the fleece is wet, and the ground is dry. He is following God at every turn. He goes into battle. The Lord says, cut the army. He cuts the army. The Lord says, go praise and go in there, and I'm going to confuse your enemies. And God, I mean, he is following God at every ridiculous thing you can think of. He followed God. But when he got the victory, all of a sudden, he decided to make decisions on his own. And this is what happens to many of us in our lives. And this is why we don't retain the victories that God brings to us. Let's read it together. Judges 8:27, New Living Translation says, then God made a sacred ephod from the gold. Gideon made a sacred ephod from the gold and put it on Ophrah, his hometown. But soon all the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping it, and it became a trap for Gideon and his family. And if you don't know what that is, I have a picture here. An ephod, basically, it was used by the priests to communicate with God. When a priest would go into the temple, and it had stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and so it was a representation. It was sort of a way, but only was used by the priests. And again, when you do things outside of what God is telling you to do and what you know, this is what ends up happening. You follow intentions. I was sharing with the worship team this. David did the same thing. He decided to move the Ark of the Covenant on a cart and horse and not on the shoulders of the Levites like God had commanded. And it cost the life of a man named Uzzah. And so that guy died because he didn't know. And so this is what happened. When God gives us a victory, we ought to know that step, and we ought to follow his direction. So he decides, I'm going to do something great, God. We just got a great victory. I'm going to take their gold, Deuteronomy 7, don't do that. And then I'm going to make an ephod. You're not a priest, so don't do that. And then I'm going to hang it so that people can worship. Now listen to this. The Ark of the Covenant in this time was in the town called Shiloh. So the people, because Gideon was their leader, decided to worship an ephod, an image of what could be the voice of God, instead of going to Shiloh and worshiping where God had set to worship. And my friends, this is exactly why we don't retain our victories. Because when we obtain it, then we start making decisions on our own in a process that God hasn't called us to do. And I want to invite you tonight that we can reconsider this thought. I love what the comment from the study Bible says. The ephod, intended as a symbol of victory and divine favor, became an object of false worship, leading the people into spiritual adultery. So what should have been something great all of a sudden became a misstep. And let me tell you, a lot of people do this. I don't want to rain on your parade right now, but there's people who know, hey, I know I got to be with the saints. I got to be at church. This is where I'm growing, and I'm going to do this. But they, little by little, start substituting, and so all of a sudden becomes an online church all the time. I can understand a little bit of it, but the Bible's clear. Something happens in the gathering of the saints that doesn't happen online. I'm not blaming some of you guys cannot move. Some of you cannot leave your homes. Like, I get that. But if you can join for that, there's a biblical mandate to that. Something happens in that. In every area of our lives. It happens in tithing. It happens in community. It happens in prayer. Because God ordained it that way. And for us to retain that victory, this is what he wants. What's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? This is how you follow the Lord. I've had the last couple cards I had. God has been so good to us. We had one car that we bought, and we just sold it a couple years ago. And you never make money on used cars. But I remember when I told my wife, I said, I think we need to buy a car. So we went to this particular place. I researched all these cars. I went to the sale agent. The guy was selling the car. And this is around COVID. It's around 2020, October 2020. So I meet this guy. I said, this is the car I'm looking for. It's here. I drive it. And he said, let me show you this other car. They're not very popular right now, but they're a pretty decent car. I drive it. I loved it. I loved it. I was like, oh, man, I love this car. But we had an appointment to go look at another car. So we did our part. We came back to him. And I said, hey, man, I love that car. Let's make a deal. We make a deal. Everything's great. The car was a blessing for the times that we had it. But I remember when the Lord told me, just in prayer, the Lord said, sell it before it hits 100,000. Now, that's weird because I've always kept my cars for a long time. But I just knew, man, that when that car hit 90, I got antsy. I was like, still a good car, Lord. I love that car. I was actually sad for a few days when we sold it, but I was like, I got to get over it. The Lord told me, right? So it was so interesting because 4 years after we've had that car for 4 years, we sell the car. We made money on the sell of the car after 4 years. I mean, that's crazy rare. Apparently, the brand had gotten popular, and it was being looked after. And I think I sold it like 92,000 miles or something like that. So we sell the car, and we made money. And then we took that money and paid for the warranty on the new car that we were buying. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that is crazy. And I remember so, but my wife always tells me this, as long as we follow the instructions of the Lord, he's going to cover us. As long as we follow the instructions of the Lord, he's going to cover us. And it's so important for us to do that because in the end, he's looking after you. He's your father, and he wants the best for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to encourage you. And so if you follow his instruction, it's for your good. Are you with me tonight? I want to end with this verse. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. And tonight, I want you to know you're not alone. When you get the victory, if you hang in there and you say, God, I'm thankful for this. Now show me my next step. And you follow that because he is good, he will guide you through it. Because he is good, he's going to help you retain the victory that he has brought to your life. I just believe it tonight. Can we pray together? Is there something in your life that you got a victory and you let go? Was it a business? Was it a health decision? Was it a friendship? Was it whatever it may be? Tell him, God, I walked away from this. Maybe ask God to refresh the instructions he gave you. Maybe you forgot and you don't know what step to take. Ask him, Lord, show me. But what's the next step? About this, maybe you got a victory and you didn't say thank you. Take a moment and say, God, thank you. I forgot about this thing that you brought to my life. Thank you so much. Let him express it out of your lips that you are grateful son and a grateful daughter. Just let them know, thank you, Father. God, thank you so much that you want us to stay in victory. Your word says that we go from glory to glory. We're going to have some ups and downs, but if we follow you, we're going to end up exactly where you want us to go. So lead your children tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.